Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Tafsir class with myself, Abu Musab. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. We are still busy doing Tafsir Ibn Kathir. We are still busy with Surah Al-Fatiha. For those of who don't have the book, it's available on Ummah Forum. There's the Tafsir class thread there with the download link to the kitab. Three volumes. We are still busy with volume number one. And we are currently on page number 22. We are to start ayah number 4, Malik Yawmiddin of Surah Al-Fatiha. So, to continue on, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So, ayah number 4 of Surah Al-Fatiha, Malik Yawmiddin, owner of the day of reckoning. That's normally how it's translated, but you'll see now what the tafsir as to what the ulama have said regarding this. So he says, قَرَأَ بَعْضُ الْقُرَّاءِ مَالِكِ وَقَرَأَ آخَرُونَ أو قَرَأَ بَعْضُ الْقُرَّاءِ مَالِكِ وَقَرَأَ آخَرُونَ مَالِكِ وَكِلَاهُمَا صَحِيحٌ مُتَوَاتِرٌ. Some of the Qurra, they recite the ayah as مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, while others say مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. One has an alif, one doesn't have an alif. But both Qira'at are correct, and it is mutawatir, meaning it's reported through numerous chains from the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, so both recitations are correct. وَمَالِكٌ مَأْخُوذٌ مِنَ الْمِلْكِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. Malik, this, when you say Malik Yawmiddin, this word Malik is derived from the word milk, and milk means ownership. كَمَا قَالَتْ, like how Allah Ta'ala mentions, indeed we will inherit the earth and whatever is upon it, and to us you all will return. So Malik means the owner, while Malik means king. So yeah, he's just showing a quick slight difference between the terms when you say Malik Yawmiddin and Malik Yawmiddin. So he says, وَمَالِكْ مَأْخُوذٌ مِنَ الْمُلْكِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. The word Malik is derived from the word Mulk, which means kingdom. So Malik means the king, and Mulk is his kingdom. Like how Allah Ta'ala mentions, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. For whom is, okay, Mulk, kingdom, and it also means, like, as you can say, the ownership. So لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, for who is the ownership of that day? This day that is being referred to in this ayah is the day of Qiyamah, the day of reckoning. وَقَالَ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ لِلرَّحْمَنِ. In another ayah, Allah mentions that the ownership on that day truly belongs only for Ar-Rahman, which is Allah. And it says, وَتَخْصِيصُ الْمَلِكِ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ لَا يَنْفِيهِ عَمَّا عَدَاهُ. The restriction and mentioning specifically that he is Maliki Yawmi Deen or Maliki Yawmi Deen, it is, does not negate that Allah is the owner of everything besides the Yawmi Deen. Because he say, لأنه قد تقدم الإخبار بأنه رب العالمين وذلك عام في الدنيا والآخرة. Because Allah Ta'ala had previously mentioned in an earlier ayah that he is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So Allah already put out that he is the Lord of the worlds. So here when Allah says that he is the owner of the day of reckoning, it does not mean that, okay, somebody else owns the rest of the days and Allah only owns the day of reckoning. No, Allah owns every single thing. But there's a reason why Allah mentioned here Malik Yawmiddin. And he says, okay, he says here that when Allah mentions that he is Rabbul Alameen, this is a general statement which encompasses everything of the world and the year after. So Allah owns everything. So coming to why Rabbul Yawmi Deen was mentioned, he says, وَإِنَّمَا أُضِيفَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَدَّعِي أَحَدٌ هُنَالِكَ شَيْئًا. This Yawmi Deen has been attributed to Allah here because on that day, nobody will be able to make any claims. وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Nor will anyone be able to speak a single word except with his permission. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. That no one will speak except for the one whom Ar-Rahman, who Allah grants the permission to speak. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا, and he will speak that which is correct. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ يَأْتِي لَا تَكَلَّمُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. On that day, he will come and he will not be able to, no soul will be able to speak except with the permission of Allah. So, in these various ayat, Allah is showing here that on this day, you won't be able to open your mouth. You may want to, but you will not have the ability to do so, except when Allah gives you the permission and the that now, not any human, no jinn, no angel, no animal, no any single thing in creation will be able to make a single statement or anything until Allah grants that particular creature the ability and the permission to do so. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال يوم الدين يوم الحساب للخلائق يدينهم بأعمالهم إن خيرا فخير وإن شرا فشر إلا من عفا عنه. حضرت عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما, he made the tafsir and explained what يوم الدين is. He says يوم الدين is يوم الحساب, the day of reckoning, the day of recompense for all of the creation. يدينهم بأعمالهم, they will be judged and recompensed according to their deeds. In khayran fakhayr, if their deeds are good, then their reckoning will be good. Wa in sharran fashar, but if their deeds are bad, then their reckoning will be bad. The result will also be equally just as bad. Illa man afa anhu, except for the one whom Allah forgives. So there are certain people, as we know is mentioned in the hadith, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said there are such and such amount of people who will enter Jannah without any hisab. They won't have any reckoning. They will enter directly one time straight into Jannah. So he says, and even apart from this also, he says, in khayran fa khayr wa in sharran fa shar, that if a person's deeds are good, he'll have a good reckoning, and if his deeds are bad, he'll have a bad reckoning. But this illa man afa anhu means that even though they may be people who would have had bad deeds, but Allah may decide to forgive them and then still give them a good reckoning. So everything comes down to the mercy of Allah. He then continues, وَالْمَلِكُ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The term al-malik, when we say the king, then this in reality is Allah Azza wa Jal. And فَأَمَّا تَسْمِيَةُ غَيْرِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِمَلِكِ فَعَلَى سَبِيلِ الْمَجَازِ. When we name anybody, like you have the king of Saudi and the king of here and the queen of England and the king of this and that and this, all these type of things, this in this world, all these people being called king, this is fa'ala sabilil majaz. It's all, as you can say, metaphorically, but they are not real kings. There is only one king, and that king is Allah Azza wa Jal alone. It says, وفي الصحيحين عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يقبض الله الأرض ويطوي السماء بيمينه ثم يقول أنا الملك أين ملوك الأرض أين الجبارون أين المتكبرون. In the Sahihain, Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim رحمهم الله, they report that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah will roll up the earth and take the earth and roll up the sky in his right hand, and then he will say, I am the king. Where are the kings of the earth? Where are the tyrants? Where are the proudful ones? Okay, when we're coming here to the sifat of Allah about the hand and all these type of things, then this we say it is as Allah has the hand of Allah. Allah alone knows its modality. We do not attribute any howness or things to it, or say that Allah has a hand like human hands. We affirm the sifa, the quality, the quality, this sifa of yad, meaning as we translate it as hand. Allah attributed himself with it, so we just affirm that, but we do not say it is like this or like that, or it's a hand like a human hand, or it's a limb and all these sort of things. We don't go into that. That we make tafweed, we leave that, all of that to Allah. Allah alone knows how it is. We only affirm what Allah has affirmed, and that's as far as we go. So we don't say now, like a person may get impression in his mind, you take a paper and you start rolling it up, so now you see the sky is being rolled up, now you assume that Allah has a hand like a limb and is rolling the skies up like this. All of this would be incorrect as a mushabbiha, anthropomorphistic belief. So this is not our belief. We say the howness of how this will take place, Allah alone knows. We do not interpret it and say it is this or that way. Okay, anyway, continuing on, he says, وَالدِّينُ الْجَزَاءُ وَالْحِسَابُ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. This word deen in the ayah, يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, we're not talking deen as in religion, yeah? So, deen in the ayah, يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, this means الْجَزَاءُ وَالْحِسَابُ, rewarding and reckoning, recompensation. Like how Allah Ta'ala mentions in another ayah, أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ, will we be the ones who will do the reckoning, أي مجيزون محاسبون, the ones who will reward people and recompense them for what they have done. وفي الحديث الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت. A famous hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the wise person من دان نفسه أي حاسب نفسه, the one who takes reckoning of his own self, وعمل لما بعد الموت, and he does deeds for what will benefit him after death. So he says here, translating this word dana, dana yadinu, is the same word deen over here, is a hasaba nafsahu, he takes stock of his own self. وعن عمر رضي الله عنه حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. حضرت عمر رضي الله عنه's famous statement wherein he said, take stock of your, take reckoning of yourself before your reckoning is taken. Meaning, see to what you are doing now before, and answer basically for what you are doing now before the day of Qiyamah comes, and then your reckoning will be taken. So see what you are doing here, correct everything, repent and everything for whatever sins you have done, and so on and so forth, so that you don't have to come in the year after and then you have to answer now for all these sins which you have not repented for, and so on and so forth. Continuing on to the next ayah, he says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you do we worship and only you do we ask for help. الْعِبَادَةُ فِي اللُّغَةِ مَأْخُوذَةٌ مِنَ الذَّلَّةِ يُقَالُ طَرِيقٌ مُعَبَّدٌ وَبَعِيرٌ مُعَبَّدٌ أَيْ مُذَلَّلٌ. الْعِبَادَةُ, worship, in the Arabic language, it is derived from the word ذَلَّة, which means submission, lowliness, subservient, everything of that sort of nature. يقال الطريق معبد, when a road is معبد, or وبعير معبد, an animal is معبد, this word عبادة, معبد, same root word, أي مذلل, meaning it is subservient, it is, as you can say, for a road, it's a road which has been set out, in our terms we would say it's a paved road, it's not overgrown and things like that, it's easy to walk upon. And when we talk about an animal being mu'abbad, it means it's a easygoing, subservient animal. It's not a, as you can say, a bucking bronco that's going to throw you off, but rather it's a simple animal. You can get on him and ride it, and you will have no problems with the animal. So yeah, he's just showing the usage of the word mu'abbad and how its actual meaning is to be subservient. So he says, وَفِي الشَّرْعِ, that was now the linguistic meaning of the word عِبَادَة. But now in the Sharia, what is عِبَادَة? He says, هِيَ مَا يُجْمَعُ كَمَالُ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَالْخُضُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. In the Sharia, the term عِبَادَة, it refers to the complete, gathering these qualities inside a person, which is complete love, fear, and subservience. مَحَبَّة, خوف, and خضور. So this in the Sharia is what is referred to as عبادة. And he says, وقدم المفعول وكرر للإهتمام والحصري. The مفعول, which is إياك, this word, it has been brought in front. The ayah could have been said نعبدك, ك meaning you. It could have been put on the ending, but here it's إياك نعبد. That's brought out and put in front of the sentence, not in, later on in the sentence, but rather the sentence starts out with إياك. So he says that this has been brought here and it's mentioned twice. You could say إياك نعبد ونستعين without needing to repeat وإياك نستعين, or نعبدك ونستعينك, both ways it could have been said. So why إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين? So he says here that إياك has been mentioned and repeated twice for the importance and to limit it and to show that there's a restriction here, that only you, O Allah, do we worship and only you do we seek help from. So, and this is a very important point. So he says here, أي لا نعبد إلا إياك ولا نتوكل إلا عليك. that we do not worship anyone but you, nor do we have reliance on anyone except you. وَهَذَا هُوَ كَمَالُ الطَّاعَةِ. And this is the perfection of worship and obedience. وَالدِّينُ يَرْجِعُ كُلُّهُ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الْمَعْنَيَيْنِ. He says that the entire religion of Islam returns to these two things. نَعْبُدُ وَنَسْتَعِينَ. The worship and the seeking of help. He says, فَالْأَوَّلُ تَبَرُّؤٌ مِّنَ الشِّرْكِ. When you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, this declaration of yours, it is a complete and utter rejection of all forms of shirk. No peer worship, no any other person do you worship, no Jesus, no idol, no nothing of the sort. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship. So it's a complete negation of any form of shirk. وَالثَّانِي تَبَرُّؤٌ مِّنَ الْحَوْلِ وَالْقُوَّةِ وَالتَّفْوِيضُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. While you say وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, this sentence on the other hand, it is a complete negation of having any strength or power and having total reliance on Allah Azza wa Jal. So وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you negate that there is power or strength to anybody, not yourself, not anyone else in this world either, no peers, no murshid, no jinn, no nobody else for that matter. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, Allah alone do you ask for help. You don't call on any peer or any saint or any jinn or on any whoever, the angel or whoever you want to call on to. You call on Allah alone. So he says, the crux of Islam, of Aqidah, is found in this, that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we ask for help. So he says it's a negation of all power and strength from yourself and from anyone else, and attributing all power and strength only to Allah. That's why we say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, that there is no power nor any might or strength except with Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore he says everything, all power and might and strength is with Allah Azza wa Jal. وهذا المعنى في غير آية من القرآن. And this meaning Allah has mentioned in various ayat of the Quran, not only here. For example, Allah says, فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says, so worship Him and have reliance upon Him. So, نَعْبُدُ وَنَسْتَعِينَ. نَسْتَعِينَ, meaning asking for help, gives the meaning of reliance. We rely on you for all forms of help that we want. So, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, and have reliance upon Allah. This is the one ayah. And then in another ayah, Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Say that He is Ar-Rahman. Upon Him do we believe, in Him, آمَنَّا بِهِ, in Him do we believe, وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, and upon Him do we have reliance. So here are two different ayat from other places of the Quran, which gives the same meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, meaning worshipping Allah alone and having reliance on Allah alone. وتحول الكلام من الغيبة إلى المواجهة لأنه لما أثنى على الله فكأنه اقترب وحضر بين يدي الله تعالى. And the changing of the speech when Surah Fatiha started, it's Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Those first ayat, it was news, information which Allah was giving, as you can say, in third person, that all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the world, who is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and He is the owner and the master and the king of the day of judgment. This was all, as you can say, information being given. But then it changed from third person to present. Suddenly now it's the person who is addressing Allah, and he's saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So he says the reason for this is because when Allah started the ayah, it was started by praising Himself. فَكَأَنَّهُ اِقْتَرَبَ وَحَضَرَ بَيْنَ يَدَيِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. It's as though the person was coming close until finally he ends up in the presence and standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. And this is why, فَلِهَذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ بِكَافِ الْخِطَابِ. So, the person, while Allah was praising Himself, a person was coming closer to Allah, until now you are standing in front of Allah, and now you address Allah, and you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ only you do we worship, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and only you do we seek assistance from, بِكَافِ الْخِطَابِ. This kaf is of addressing someone who is present from, as you can say, third person now directly to second person that you are speaking directly to. So he say, وفي هذا دليل على أن أول السورة خبر من الله تعالى بالثناء على نفسه بجميل صفاته الحسنى وإرشاد لعباده بأن يثنوا عليه بذلك. He say, in this, if you can say this changing from third person to second person, this is a proof that the beginning of the surah was information from Allah Ta'ala praising himself with his beautiful perfect qualities, and it's also a directive from Allah to his servants that they should praise him likewise with these words, that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm al-Din, this part here. So from here, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een is now where the as you can say, the conversation shifts from Allah speaking now to being the person, the human being himself, who starts speaking. So he says, وَإِنَّمَا قُدِّمَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ عَلَى وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ لِأَنَّ الْعِبَادَةَ لَهُ هِيَ الْمَقْصُودَةُ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةُ وَسِيلَةٌ إِلَيْهَا. Allah had started the ayah by saying إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ instead of إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. So only you do we worship and only you do we seek help. He said the reason for this is because worship, the ibadah, this is what is the objective. While isti'ana, the seeking of help and assistance, this is a means of going towards ibadah. But the objective, the main important thing, this is ibadah. So he says, wal aslu ay yuqaddima ma huwa al ahammu fal aham. The principle is that that which is more important is mentioned first. So that is why Allah mentioned that only you do we worship and only you do we seek help, and did not say only you do we seek help from and only you do we worship. So this is why the ayah was set out like this, that first came na'budu, of the word ibadah, and second came nasta'in, of the word isti'ana. So now he says, some people may have an objection. So, فَإِنْ قِيلَ فَمَا مَعَنَ النُّونَ فِي نَعْبُدُ وَنَسْتَعِينَ فَإِنْ كَانَتْ لِلْجَمْعِ فَالدَّاعِي وَاحِدٌ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لِلْتَعْظِيمِ فَلَا يُنَاسِبُ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ. He says, if somebody brings this objection and they say, what is the meaning of this noon in na'budu? Like, because na'budu, if we were to use it in, for those of you who have been attending the Arabic classes, when we say, like ya'budu, ta'budu, a'budu, na'budu, in this sentence, in this form, na'budu would mean we worship, and a'budu would mean I worship. So he says, what's the meaning of having this noon here? If it's for plural, then fadda'i wahidun, the person who is making this call, the person who is reading Surah Al-Fatiha, is an individual. So why must he use the plural form if this noon is for plural form? And he says, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لِلْتَعَظِيمِ فَلَا يُنَاسِبُ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ. If this noon is for, as you can say, for honor, like you can say in English, the royal we, then this, it's not befitting of this place, because you are now addressing Allah. How can you put yourself up on a level where you start using a royal we to refer to yourself when you are addressing Allah? The royal we, this, as Allah uses it time and again in the Quran, that is for Allah. But for us here, how can we use such a term for ourselves and speak to Allah in that manner? So this is, if somebody comes out with this objection, what is the answer? He says, وَقَدْ أُجِيبَ بِأَنَّ الْمُرَادَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْإِخْبَارُ عَنْ جِنْسِ الْعِبَادِ وَالْمُصَلِّ فَرْضٌ مِنْهُمْ وَلَا سِيَّمَا إِنْ كَانَ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ أَوْ إِمَامُهُمْ فَأَخْبَرَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَعَنْ إِخْوَانِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِالْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي خُلِقُوا لِأَجْلِهَا وَتَوَسَّطَ لَهُمْ بِخَيْرِهِ. He says, some ulama, they have answered this objection and they said that the meaning of this is informing on behalf of all of the servants of Allah. So the musalli, the person performing salah, he's an individual, especially if he is in a congregation, or he is the imam leading the congregation. So you are an individual, but you are informing, you are making the statement that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, this, it is the plural form, it's not the noon of ta'azim, it's not the royal we used in this sentence, but rather it's the plural we. So we say that the plural we is used here because you are making the statement on behalf of yourself and on behalf of all your believing brothers, bil-ibadah, that we all worship you alone, Allah, because we have been created for your worship. So you don't just restrict it to yourself by saying, إِيَّاكَ أَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ أَسْتَعِينَ, but rather it is all-encompassing for all believers, and we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that only you do we all worship and only you do all of us seek help from. He says وَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ أَلْطَفُ فِي التَّوَاضُعِ مِنْ إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا. He says when the ayah says إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, it is has more softness and it has more humility in it than saying إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا. If we translate it into English, only you do we worship, and إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا, in translation way, it means exactly the same thing. عَبَدْنَا means we worship, and نَعْبُدُ means we worship. So you only notice the difference from an Arabic perspective. So he says that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is more humble in its humility form than saying إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا. لِمَا فِي الثَّانِي مِنْ تَعْظِيمِ نَفْسِهِ مِنْ جَعْلِ نَفْسِهِ وَحْدَهُ أَهْلًا لِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَحَدٌ أَن يَعْبُدَهُ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِهِ. Because he says that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, it is more humble, because the second one, meaning إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا, in this there is, as you can say, honor that you are giving yourself, that you make yourself a person all alone who is befitting and who is, as you can say, fulfilling the worship of Allah like how it should be done. When it's not possible for anyone to worship Allah to the degree that Allah deserves to be worshipped. So this is what he's getting at, that the reason why na'budu, that oh Allah, all of us, we worship you, but we are unable to worship you to the extent that you deserve to be worshipped. We worship you to the best of our humble capacity, but we are not able to do so. While if you were to say إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا, then you put yourself on a pedestal and you say that we are able to fulfill this right of yours, O Allah. You have asked us to worship you, so we have fulfilled that right. That is basically the distinction in the meaning between إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ and إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا. So this is why he's explaining that this is why Allah used the term إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ instead of إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا. He says وَلَا يَثْنِي عَلَيْهِ كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِهِ وَلِعِبَادَةُ مَقَامٌ عَظِيمٌ يَشْرُفُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ لِانْتِسَابِهِ إِلَى جَنَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى كَمَا قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ. He says that continuing on here, that a person is unable to fulfill the worship of Allah like how Allah deserves to be worshipped, and he says nor is anyone able to praise Allah like how he is deserving. So we praise Allah, that's why we say anta kama athnayta ala nafsik in the famous dua, that anta kama athnayta ala nafsik, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a dua, that you are as you have praised yourself, meaning we are unable to praise Allah to the degree that Allah deserves to be praised. So the way Allah praised Himself, that is the greatest of praise. So we say that, oh Allah, you are as you have praised yourself. So this is why, if you were to say إِيَّاكَ عَبَدْنَا, and obviously for نَسْتَعِينَ as well here, then you are putting yourself on that pedestal where you are saying, we are able to fulfill your right of worship, oh Allah, and we are able to praise you to the extent that you deserve to be praised, and so on and so forth, all these sort of things. So a lot of self-importance in that statement. So therefore this word was not used, and rather إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ was used in the ayah. And he says وَلِعِبَادَةُ, this عِبَادَة is a مَقَامٌ عَظِيمٌ, it is a lofty stage. يَشْرُفُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ لِانْتِسَابِهِ إِلَى جَنَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, it is the servant, he is noble when he attributes that only Allah is deserving of being worshipped. Like كما قال بعضهم لا 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 تدعوني إلا بيا عبدها فإنه أشرف أسمائي. Okay, this is again a part of poetry over here. So here he says that the ibadah, that when a person is being called as a person who, as you can say, an abd, a servant of Allah, this is what gives a person honor. He said in this poem, لا تدعوني إلا بيا عبدها, don't call me by anything except Ya Abdi, O my servant, فَإِنَّهُ أَشْرَفُ أَسْمَائِي, because that is my most most noble of all my names. So when it is a honor for a person to be called the Abd, the slave and the servant of Allah. There is, as you can say, you find many amongst people, amongst the kuffar, and even among, I notice among some Muslims today, where they say it's bad and it's not right that you say the slave of Allah, you should call yourself the servant of Allah, because slave is bad and this and that, and all these sort of batil arguments they come out with. As you could see from the beginning when he explained what is ibadah, it is that ta'abbud, it is that mudallal, that low, humble state that a person is in. So we are not even fit to be called the slaves of Allah, we are even lower than that. But now for some reason people seem to take offense at that, that how can you be called a slave of God and all these sort of things. Anyway, that's all just the opinions of people. So anyway, وقد سمى رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعبده في أشرف مقاماته فقال الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب. He continues and he says that to show what a lofty position being a slave of Allah is that Allah termed, named and referred to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم as his abd, his slave, in the most noble of places. In the Quran, when Allah said, this is on the incident of the Isra and the Mi'raj. Okay, that's in a different place of the Quran. But in any case, in this particular ayah here, it's a very lofty status that Allah says, all praise is due to Allah, the one who has revealed the book, meaning the Quran, upon his servant. So here, in this ayah, Allah refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the servant of Allah. And waqala wa annahu lamma qama 'abdullah yad'uhu, in another ayah Allah says, and when the servant of Allah stood up and called and supplicated to Allah. And in another ayah, this is surah Isra, waqala subhanalladhi asra bi 'abdihi laylan, glory be to the one who had taken his servant at night, his slave at night, on this night journey of, meaning the incident of Isra and Mi'raj. So time and again Allah refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As you can see, Isra and Mi'raj was no ordinary ordinary incident. It was a very great incident which did not take place with any of the other Anbiya alayhi wasalam. It was restricted specifically for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Till today, we can talk for hours on end on the incident of the Isra and the Mi'raj, the journey that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam traveled from Makkah to Baytul Maqdis to upwards to Jannatul Firdaus and beyond until the where Allah revealed what the salah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the conversation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Anbiya alayhi wasallam in Jannah, and everything of the whole long incident of Isra and Mi'raj, which did not take place for anyone else in the existence of mankind. So with this specific miracle which took place, and Allah refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his abd, his slave, whom he had taken for this night journey. So this is a praise for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah refers to him as his slave. So, you know, that's why I said, for us to be termed as the slave of Allah, we are not even deserving of that. Yet people want to find fault with it and say, no, it's bad, you mustn't call yourself the slave of Allah. So there's nothing to be ashamed about. In fact, it's something you should be proud about, that you are the slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, فَسَمَّاهُ عَبْدًا عِنْدَ إِنْزَالِهِ عَلَيْهِ. Allah termed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave when he had revealed the Quran upon him. وَعِنْدَ قِيَامِهِ لِلدَّعْوَى. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to call him, then to Allah referred to him as his slave. وَإِسْرَائِهِ بِهِ. And in the night journey, also in these three ayat, Allah referred to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave, all as praises for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Continuing on, he says, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us on the straight path. So he says, لما تقدم الثناء على المسؤول تبارك وتعالى ناسب أن يعاقب بالسؤال, وهذا أكمل أحوال السائل أن يمدح مسؤوله ثم يسأل حاجته, لأنه أنجح للحاجة وأنجع للإجابة, ولهذا أرشد الله إليه لأنه الأكمل. He says that after the praise of Allah, على المسؤول, you praising the one whom you are asking, who is Allah تبارك وتعالى, it's now you start first by praising and then you move on to your to asking. So he says it's now as you can say appropriate that you end it up with asking of you for your needs, and this is the most perfect of states that the, as you can say, let's say, let's put it in the standard sa'il, it can mean the asker. We say the asker, where you first praise the one whom you are asking and then you ask for your needs, because that is anjahu lil haja, it is more, it has a greater chance of your needs being fulfilled, wa anja'u lil ijaba, and it is also greater chance of you being answered. Wa lihadha arshadallahu ilay, and for this reason Allah guided us towards it, because this is the best of methods, that you first start out by praising Allah. That is why even in your dua you first start out with the praises of Allah before you move on to asking for your needs, for your health and for this and for ease of your burdens and everything, but you first start out your dua with the with praising Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what he's saying, that Allah teaches us this in Surah Al-Fatiha itself, that after you have praised Allah by starting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, then you moved on to declare yourself free of shirk and to attribute all power and everything to Allah, to show your utter and total reliance and subservience to Allah by saying إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Now you move on and you say إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Now you ask Allah for your need, which is, oh Allah, guide us on the straight path, because no one can guide us except you, O Allah. So now we are asking you. After we have praised you, we now ask you that you grant us this. So he says, وَالْهِدَايَةُ هَاهُنَا الْإِرْشَادُ وَالتَّوْفِيقُ وَقَدْ تُعَدَّى بِنَفْسِهَا إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ وَقَدْ تَعَدَّى بِإِلَى فَهْدُوهُمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْجَحِيمِ وَقَدْ تُعَدَّى بِاللَّامِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا أي وَفَقْنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ أَهْلًا. He says that hidayah in this case is al-irshad wa tawfiq. It is a guidance and the ability to be on the straight path. And this word hidayah has been used, as you can say, with other words and on its own, as ihdina sirat, guide us on the straight path. So hidayah and then the straight path. And waqad tu'adda bi'ila. This is what is termed in Arabic as you can say, lazim and muta'addi. Arabic terms, which we will do inshallah in the Arabic class, and then you'll be able to get a better understanding of it. So in any case, he says وَقَدْ تُعَدَّى بِإِلَى. So you have the word hidayah with the word إِلَى. فَهْدُوهُمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْجَحِيمِ. So if you were to translate it as guide them to the path of Jahannam, but literally it means take them to the path of Jahannam, rather take them to Jahannam in other words. وَقَدْ تُعَدَّى بِاللَّامِ. That all praise is due to Allah, the one who had guided us to this. Hadana li hadha. This is the lam he's referring to. Ay waffaqna wa ja'alna lahu ahla. That Allah granted us the tawfiq, the ability, and made us people deserving to be of people of this guidance. Meaning of the hidayah, that we are Muslim and everything of the sort. So here he's just going from again a linguistic perspective. He says, وَأَمَّا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ فَهُوَ فِي لُغَةِ الْعَرَبِ الطَّرِيقُ الْوَاضِحُ الَّذِي لَا إِعْوِجَاجَ فِيهِ. The term صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, the straight path, in the Arabic language, it refers to the clear road which has no crookedness, no bends, nothing in it. It's a clear straight road direct ahead. There's no off ramps or anything else. It's one straight road. ثم تستعير العرب الصراط في كل قول وعمل وصف باستقامة أو إعوجاج. Then this is literally what originally the word صراط المستقيم was. But then he says the Arabs in their usage, they started taking the word sirat and using it for every deed or speech or to describe istiqama, as you can say, being straight and steadfast. So they took this word sirat and started using it like this. But originally the word sirat referred to a clear straight road which has no skewness or anything in it. Okay, then he says, واختلفت عبارات المفسرين في السلف والخلف في تفسير الصراط وإن كان يرجع حاصلها إلى شيء واحد وهو المتابعة لله وللرسول. The differing interpretations of the Mufassirin, of the Salaf and the Khalaf, meaning the Salaf, the first 300 years of Islam, and the Ulama who came later, they all have differing interpretations, or rather the words they use for it differs with regards to what in the definition or an interpretation of the Sirat. وَإِنْ كَانَ Despite the fact, وَإِنْ كَانَ يَرِجِعُ حَاصِلَهَا إِلَى شَيْءٍ وَاحِدٍ. They may have, one say it's A, B, C, D, E, and the other one says it's this, 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 and this, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to one thing. And he says, وَهُوَ الْمُتَابَعَةُ لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ. The straight path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, is what? It is the obedience and following Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you do this, then you are on the straight path, and otherwise you are not on this path, on the path. فروي أنه كتاب الله وقيل إنه الإسلام. So some, it's been mentioned by some that the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it is the book of Allah, meaning the Quran. Other ulama, they give the interpretation that إنه الإسلام, that the Sirat al-Mustaqim means Islam. And وقال ابن عباس ودين الله الذي لا إعوجاج فيه. حضرت عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنه عنهما, he said that the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it refers to the deen of Allah which has no crookedness in it. وقال ابن الحنفية هو دين الله الذي لا يقبل من العباد غيره. Ibn al-Hanafiyya, who is the son of Hadrat Ali radiyallahu anhu, from a different wife, not from Hadrat Fatima radiyallahu anha, he said that the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it is the deen of Allah which is not accepted from any, it is that deen of Allah which nothing else besides it is accepted. Meaning, as Allah says that, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the deen by Allah is Islam, and nothing, meaning nothing else besides Islam is accepted by Allah. So he says that the Sirat al-Mustaqim, in the words of Ibn al-Hanafiyya, it is Islam. So, as you can see, he uses different terms, but the meaning is the same, like what Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma had basically said. وَقَدْ فُسِّرَ الصِّرَاطُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فِي حَدِيثِ فِي حَدِيثِ النَّوَّاسِ ibn سَمْعَانَ radiyallahu anhu. He said that it has come, the explanation or the interpretation of الصِّرَاط being Islam in the hadith of Hadrat Nawas ibn Sam'an radiyallahu anhu عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال ضرب الله مثلا صراطا مستقيما وعلى جنبتي الصراط سواران فيهما أبواب مفتحة وعلى الأبواب ستور مرخات وعلى باب الصراط داع يقول يا أيها الناس ادخلوا الصراط جميعا ولا تعوجوا وداع يدعو من فوق الصراط فإذا أراد الإنسان أن يفتح شيئا من تلك الأبواب قال ويحك لا تفتحه فإنك إن تفتحه تلجه فالصراط الإسلام والسوران حدود الله والأبواب المفتحة محارم الله وذلك الداعي على رأس الصراط كتاب الله والداعي من فوق الصراط واعظ الله في قلب كل مسلم. So the hadith of Hadrat Nawas ibn Sam'an radiyallahu anhu, he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah gives forth an example of a straight path. So the straight path, there is a path which is straight, and on the both sides of the road there is walls which has doors, open doors in it, and in front on the doors itself there are curtains hanging, and on the door of the path itself is a caller saying, oh people, enter the path entirely and don't ghost cue, meaning follow the, here's the door to the straight path, follow it and don't move, leave, ignore the doors on the side of the road, just go straight in and avoid the side roads basically. وَدَعِنْ يَدْعُوا مِنْ فَوْقِ الصِّرَاطِ, and there is a caller calling from above the path as well. So when a person intends to open up one of these doors, then this caller calls out, woe to you, don't open that door. Because if you open it, you will basically, it will pull you in and you will go astray. Because the straight path is, as you can say, basically it's the straight path. While everything else, that these doors which leads off the straight path, it is the doors of misguidance, it's the doors of sin, it's the doors of evil, the doors of following shaitan and everything of the sort. Therefore, follow the straight path and do not open any of these doors, because if you open it, you will fall into it and you won't be able to get, basically you'll fall into it. It's possible you can get out again, but that was the permission of Allah. But basically, don't open the doors or otherwise you're going to fall inside. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after giving this example, he said, فَصِّرَاطُ Islam, the sirat, this road, it is Islam. And the walls, these are the limits, the hudud that Allah has set down. وَالْأَبْوَابُ الْمُفَتَّحَ, these open doors, these are the prohibitions of Allah, these things which Allah has prohibited. وَذَلِكَ الدَّعِي عَلَى رَأَسِ الصِّرَاطِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, the caller who stood at the door of the straight path calling out, that is the book of Allah, the Quran. And the caller who is above the road calling out to the people, don't open the door and so on, this is the, as you can say, the wa'ad, the reminder which of Allah, which Allah has placed in the heart of every Muslim. Basically, it, as you can say, you know in your heart will be able to tell you when something is right and something is wrong. So Allah has placed that in your heart, that you know something is wrong when it is wrong, when something is a sin, as long as your heart is not diseased, obviously. So as long as you are a normal person, your heart will know what is good and what is bad. So therefore, Allah placed that in your heart, and this will tell you, woe to you, don't do this. You know if you're going to commit zina, you know you are about to commit an evil. Your heart tells you that. So this voice that comes in your heart, this is that extra caller who is above the path that is advising you not to open the doors, otherwise you will fall into it. Basically, that is what the hadith says. So the reason for quoting this hadith is because in this hadith, the sirat, the straight path, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had used this example of the straight path being Islam itself. So here he's just continuing with the various interpretations and opinions of ulama as to what the Sirat al-Mustaqim is, whether it is the Islam, whether it's the Quran, whether whatever and what all and what not, the various opinions the ulama had put down. Continuing on, he says, وقال مجاهد الصراط المستقيم الحق وهذا أشمل ولا منافاة بينه وبين ما تقدم. Imam Mujahid رحمه الله, he said that the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it is the truth. And he says this is more encompassing and there is no contradiction between this and between everything that has passed. قال ابن جرير رحمه الله والذي هو أولى بتأويل هذه الآية عندي أن يكون معنيا به وفقنا للثبات على ما ارتضيته ووفقت له من أنعمت عليه من عبادك من قول وعمل وذلك هو الصراط المستقيم لأن من وفق له لما وفق له من أنعم عليه من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين فقد وفق للإسلام. إمام ابن جرير رحمه الله, he says the best interpretation of this ayah, in my opinion, is that its meaning is, guide us to be steadfast on that which you have been pleased with, or that which you are pleased with, and give us the ability to be with those whom you have favored upon from your servants, those in the indeed, in word and in deed. And that is the straight path, because whoever has been guided to that, he has been guided to that which Allah had favored those from the Nabiyeen, the Anbiya alayhimus salam, and the Siddiqeen, and the martyrs, and the pious people. So whoever has been guided to this, then obviously he has been guided to Islam. So therefore, in the opinion of Imam Ibn Jarir rahimahullah, this is the best interpretation to give to the word Sirat al-Mustaqim. So now Imam Ibn Kathir continues on and he says, if somebody asks this question, فَإِنْ قِيلَ فَكَيْفَ يَسْأَلُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْهِدَايَةِ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ مِّن صَلَاتٍ وَهُوَ مُتَّصِفٌ بِذَلِكَ. If somebody comes up to this question and they say that how can a believer ask for guidance at all times in his salah while he is already being attributed and described as such, meaning you are a believer, so you are guided, so why are you asking for guidance? So he says, فَالْجَوَابُ أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ مُفْتَقِرٌ فِي كُلِّ سَاعَةٍ وَحَالَةٍ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي تَثْبِيتِهِ عَلَى الْهِدَايَةِ وَرُسُوخِهِ فِيهَا وَاسْتِمْرَارِهِ عَلَيْهَا فَأَرْشَدَهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى أَنْ يَسْأَلَهُ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ أَنْ يَمُدَّهُ بِالْعَوْنَةِ وَالثَّبَاتِ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ فَقَدْ أَمَرَ تَعَالَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْإِيمَانِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْمُرَادُ الثَّبَاتُ وَالْمُدَاوَمَةُ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ الْمُعَيَّنَةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. He says, in reply to this, basically this objection, if anybody were to come out with such an objection, then the answer is that the servant of any person, he is at all times and all states, he is in need of Allah Ta'ala to keep him steadfast on guidance and keep him firmly rooted upon this path and to keep him, to continue on always upon this path. So it's, you may be on guidance right now at this particular moment, but you don't know what may happen in the future. So you may have good times now, but bad times can come. So you may be on Islam now and then you fall into kufr or bid'ah or something of the sort. So therefore, it is of the utmost importance and necessity that the person at all times you ask Allah for guidance and to be kept firm and steadfast on the path, on the straight path of guidance, so that you don't fall in any of these things. So he says, so Allah Ta'ala guided the people that they should ask him at every time to grant them help and aid and keep them steadfast and grant them the ability to remain on the straight path. فَقَدْ أَمَرَ تَعَالَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْإِيمَانِ, because Allah had also commanded the people of Iman when Allah said, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Oh, you people who have believed, believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what he's showing here, he's proving this point of being on the straight path with this ayah wherein Allah said, oh, you who have believed. So Allah already admits and tells you that you have iman. But aminu billahi wa rasuli, have iman in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning keep firm that iman in your heart at all times and don't ever let it go. This is, so you have iman, but make sure you remain steadfast on that iman. So likewise, you have hidayah, you are guided to Islam, but you make this dua for guidance and to be steadfast so that you always remain on the straight path right until the ending. So he says, وَالْمُرَادُ أَثَّبَاتُ وَالْمُدَاوَمَةِ, the intended meaning is to be steadfast and to remain continuous on doing good deeds, عَلَى الْعَمَالِ الْمُعِينَةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, to do such good deeds which will aid you and assist you in order to remain firm on the straight path. Wallahu a'lam. That is the end of his tafsir of that ayah. And inshallah we will end on this point here. And then next time, in our next lesson inshallah, we can continue and complete the rest of Suratul Fatiha. So on this point we will end here then, and we say, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.